Turn with me, if you would, to the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and let's pray. Lord God, we're so thankful to be here in your place, in this place where your Spirit is with us today to help us to read your scriptures and to learn about how you would have us to live. Show us ways to change and help us to find ways to love you and to love our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. In verse 7, when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So one of the things that I learned at seminary was about group dynamics. Group dynamics is about how people are in a room or in a job together and how they get things done, and sometimes even how they sit in the room. And so I was chosen for federal jury duty. And someone once said that jury duty is the one place where everybody is equal. Everybody is the same. It's like a subway car. Everybody's the same in jury duty. So in this jury duty, I was chosen to actually be on the jury. So I had the pleasure of being there for several days in this tiny room that we met in a lot. And when I came in, you know that one of the first things you do as a jury is you pick a foreperson to lead the jury. And so I knew about group dynamics. I knew about where it was that you sat at the table and how that would matter about who might be chosen to be the leader. And I said, you know, all this group dynamic stuff that I've learned, I'm going to put it to the test right now. And so we were at a long table. And so I went and sat at the end of the table and said nothing, because I knew that the person who sat at the end of the table would be the one that was at the head of the table and would likely be the leader of the group. But I wasn't running for it. I didn't really want it. I just wanted to see what would happen. And so as we sat there, eventually, you know, suggestions ping-ponged around the table, and finally somebody pointed over at me and said, hey, why don't you be the foreperson of this jury? And then everybody started to agree, and I was like, wow, this stuff is just like magic, the way it works. Jesus knows this too. Jesus knows that group dynamics and the way people sit matters. Think about when you have the president or the prime minister sit. They sit they're again at a long table, but they sit in the middle for some reason. Which is kind of strange, but it's for the TV, right? It's for the cameras, so they can show who the other important people are in the room. Usually it's the people in Congress that they're negotiating with, or somebody else who's there. How we sit together and how we are together matters about people's status and who they are and how we are relating to one another. And Jesus knows this from the story that he tells. Think about it in life in other places too, like in the church. We all sit in different places, and heaven forbid you take the wrong person's pew on Sunday morning. The consequences of that. But Jesus is talking about this kind of thing in life where it is of deep consequence. Because there are times in life where we are told the place to sit. Like a wedding. If you've been to a wedding with place cards, you know that you're being told where to sit. You're supposed to sit at this place card, and usually the bride and other people in the family and in the bridal party have sat down and pondered this just deeply to find out who was going to sit at what table. And you know your importance there at the wedding, because if you're the least important person, where do you sit? In the back, right? You're in the back. That happens at birthday parties too, different places. And one place that I've noticed it in the church and in ministry is at a funeral. When someone has a funeral, families are at the funeral will oftentimes line up with the most important person in the place of honor sitting in the funeral. Well, Jesus wants us to think about our honor and esteem, but he wants us to think about our honor and esteem with regard to our humility. In life, we want to try to get the most honor and esteem and sit at the best place and be with the best people and have the most honor that we can have. Think about it. If the Queen of England invited you to dinner today, you would go to that meal, wouldn't you? You'd go, even if you had no idea why you got invited. We all want to be that close to important people. It's not just in meals, it's in life. The meal, the meeting that Jesus is talking about is a parable. It's a parable about our service to one another and to the world. That humility, the humility of Christians, the humility of believers, precedes our service. The thing that Jesus wants us to get right first is our humility before we go and serve others. Martin Luther King Jr. called it the beloved community. Back in the 60s, it was about blacks and whites being together in the South. Jesus called it the kingdom of God, or the reign of God, God ruling on the earth. If God is really ruling, if God is at the center of things, then everyone is getting out of each other's way and going out of their own way to serve others. The kingdom of God is God's great reversal of this life. That God wants to reverse our places, the earthly power, the earthly esteem, the earthly injustice, to overturn that and overthrow that, so that love and peace and wisdom and justice and love will reign here. So Jesus wants us to think first about our humility. The second thing that Jesus wants us to think about is how narrow the circle is and how narrow the circle is drawn. Many times we think about how our kindness to the people that we're around, and that is an important thing to think of and to consider. We need to be kinder and kinder to the people that are around us. We need to show our love to those who are around us from day to day. But when Jesus tells the second parable to the one who has hosted this party, he's reminding him that the people that he invited to the party are the people he was hoping eventually to get something out of later. These are the people that have invited him to a party that will make him more famous, more well-known in the community, might have some business deals attached to it. And Jesus is saying, when you have a party, think about those who are marginalized. Think about those who are outside of the circle that you have drawn. It's tempting to socially climb and to seek reward or to feel punished. Jesus is speaking to the insider about the marginalized. He says, when you invite people, invite those who are forgotten, the poor, those who can't give you any money or any business, those who are blind, those who are lame, those who are possibly considered to be beneath you. Invite them to your party. Then when you get a reward, your reward will be from God, not from this world, not from this life. Imagine the church being the institution that overturns these barriers in our world today. Imagine Christians, imagine believers being the ones who change the way we live together and who bring in the marginalized. This is what Jesus is calling us to broaden the circle, to remember those that we forget, and to see everyone as part of our family. Because the Lord is calling us here today at the Lord's Supper to realize this, to see this. You see, the real host is here in spirit, and that is the Lord. The pastor is not the host. The elders are not the host. The congregation is not the host. The host is the Lord himself, the one who is throwing this meal is the Spirit, and the Spirit is here today. One of the things about the theology of the Lord's Supper is that you don't come forward and receive that from the minister. You don't even come forward and receive that from the elders. Every now and then we do that by intention, and it may seem like that. But really what the Lord's Supper is about, especially when we do it like we do today, when we pass the plate to one another, the Lord's Supper is about serving one another. No person is more important than the other. No person gets more or less than the other. Everyone is served, and everyone is welcome. It is meant to overturn the way that the world does things. It is meant to overturn the sinful way that humanity organizes itself and to create a new kingdom of God. Humility reminds us that the cries of the marginalized, the poor, the troubled, the oppressed, those accuse us every day. Their cries accuse us. They call us to remember the injustice that we've done. They call us to mercy, and they call us to care. And God is calling us to find the humility to activate this kind of faith and this kind of faith in action. Once Muhammad Ali was at the height of his powers boxing, and he knew that he was stronger than everybody else and could beat up everybody else in the world. And he was on an airplane, and the flight attendant came around, and she said to everyone, "It's now time to put on your seatbelts." And she showed the safety review. And she noticed that Muhammad Ali did not buckle his seatbelt. And so she came down to Muhammad Ali and said, Mr. Ali, you need to buckle your seatbelt. We're about to take off." And as he always did, he had something pithy to say. Muhammad Ali said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The flight attendant thought for a second and said, "Yeah, and Superman don't need no airplane either. Put on your seatbelt." This is the kind of humility that we need to find in life. And this is the humility that this parable is teaching us. The mission of the church is to take an attitude of humility towards one another and towards the marginalized of this world, so that all may one day know the truth, the goodness, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is what we begin here. And this is where our end is, at the resurrection of the just, at the time when we will find our true reward. Our reward is not going to be the kind of rewards that are on this earth, but they will be the rewards given only by God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful today that you have invited us to the feast. You are the groom. And we, your church, are the bridegroom. We are your bride. Lord, we ask that you would remind us that your feast is for all. With the consummation of the union of your church with you through your Holy Spirit, it's about the welcoming and reaching out to all. Today, Lord, through this meal, help us to taste and see. And throughout the coming days, turn us towards our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.